Thank you, Jonah, for taking care of Brother Rick's work. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Well, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hopes within me die, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the little sparrow, and I know He cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over you and me. Take your Bible this morning and turn to Mark chapter 6. A few years ago, I preached a sermon. I just thought I need to hear it again. And the sermon is called, They Consider Not the Miracles of the Loaf. In Mark chapter 6, you realize that this is just really the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. He has chosen 12 men, very different men. Fishermen, I have no problem with that, amen. Tax collector, I know you got a problem with that. He calls some brothers. He calls some very close friends, which made up the 12 disciples. He started showing him his power. And the reason He was showing them His power and these great miracles that were taking place was to reveal to them that He was God. He did these miracles to prove His authenticity that He was God. I said, He was God. I said, He is God. These men were in the midst of these miracles. They had firsthand, you might say they had box seats, front row seats. They were also behind the scenes. They were with Jesus all the time. There were some people that saw him some of the time, but these men saw him all the time. No man ever performed such miracles that Jesus Christ was turning out. Turned the water into wine and raised the nobleman's son in his deathbed and cast out demons and healed Peter's mother-in-law and healed the paralytic and cleansed the lepers and healed the lame man and cured withered man's hand. And at the Sea of Galilee, he healed the multitude and raised the centurion's servant, brought back to life the widow's son, and caused the sea to calm, and cast demons into the swine, and raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and healed two blind men, and gave speech to the demon-possessed man. And in John chapter 10, he fed 5,000 men, just men, not counting the women and children, and the Bible said they were filled. And then they gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And this Jesus is proving himself like no other man they'd ever seen before. He was righteous. He never sinned. He never said a cross word. He never said a blatant word. He was perfect as they watched him. He kept the Ten Commandments like no one else that could ever do it. And he walked on water. But I want you to notice a little statement in the Bible, a little comment that God had the Holy Spirit have Mark write down in this account, verse 4:52. You all see it there? You ought to mark that in your Bible. For they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I read that over, and I don't know how many 100 times or maybe 1,000 times I've read these scriptures. I never saw that before. Till a few years ago, I was reading that and I saw this and it said, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves. What were we talking about? Well, less than 12 hours before this happened that Jesus was walking on the sea, the Lord Jesus Christ had the people sit down in the desert, and the little boy had some loaves and fishes, and he broke those loaves and he prayed for those loaves and miraculously fed this great multitude. And there are baskets left over. The word consider comes from the Greek word suneiami, which means to set or to bring together, to understand or to be wise. It's a military use in combatants to have perception. Or, oh, I get it. Or, bing, light comes on. Amen. It means to have it plugged in. I think if you'd been there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that if these things just happen, don't you think you'd get it? Don't you think that you would believe? Here the Lord Jesus Christ has done all these great miracles, and now he's walking on the water, and they're just scared to death. They think there's a ghost. I mean, it's like, whoa. I don't know about you, but I've been scared spitless before. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that I'm going to tell you something. I wanted the lights on, amen. When I was in college, I came back home, and I was helping my dad farm, But my friend Larry Nielsen said, hey, how'd you like a job? I said, well, I got a job. I'm farming. He said, no. He said, at night. I said, what's that? He said, driving ambulance, working at the funeral home. I said, how much you pay? And he told me. I said, yeah, I'll take that job. And so when I get off the farm, I just head into Midland to Ware Smith Funeral Home, and we had ambulance. And so I brought my stuff, and I said, where am I going to sleep? He says, in there. I said, what's that? He said, that's a casket storage room. I said, that's a what? He said, that's a casket storage room. He said, they're all brand new. Nobody slept in them yet. I said, I ain't sleeping. No, he said, there's a bed in there. I'm going to tell you something. That was the first night I ever slept with all my clothes on and shoes on and 1 foot out of that rollaway bed. I mean, you talk about getting your jeebers scared out of you. Man, I had it. Every time I heard a creak or a crack, man, I'll tell you what, I was jumping. Anybody. I know what it is to be scared. And these men were desperately scared. You know, if Jesus turned water into wine and raised a nobleman's son from dead and cast out demons and healed Peter's mother-in-law and healed the paralytic and cleansed the leper and healed the lame man and cured the withered man's hand and at the Sea of Galilee healed the multitude and raised a centurion's son, brought back to life a widow's son and caused the sea to calm and cast out the demons into wine and raised Jairus' daughter from dead and healed the blind man and gave speech to the demon-possessed man and in John chapter 10, fed the 5,000 just men and filled 12 baskets full of leftover and walked on the water, I would think, and most people would say, I would have believed. I just know I could have faith in Jesus. And to that I'd like to say, yeah, right. The fact that John tells that he saw more than the Bible ever tells, and all the miracles that Jesus performed, yet John, he said, I ran and hid like the rest of them at the death of Jesus Christ. You know, we're funny people. We're fickle people. We are mortals. And there's a lot of things we just don't get. And it's amazing how in our life that God will take us from this calamity, and we get out of that calamity, and we get another calamity or problem, and somehow, miraculously, we get through that thing, and we get to another calamity in our life or another particular predicament in our life, and somehow God gets us through that, and maybe the money's and the fun is not there, and we're begging God and good night, and the wolf is at the door, and all of a sudden, here comes some money or something, somebody helps us, and we're saying, wow, that was a miracle. And what do we normally do? We thank God, say, thank you, Lord. One man said, you know, God's never in a hurry, He's always on time. Well, there's something, we pray, God, you got to help us. Well, I don't need it then yet. But there comes a time in my life that I really need it. God puts it right there, amen. It's an amazing thing. We're crazy people. Kind of guy said, well, you got to tie a string around your finger and so you'll remember. I always remember, what in the world I put that string on my finger for? My wife used to tease me. She said, you're always taking notes. I said, yeah, I'll tell you what. She said, you're always losing your notes. She took. Thank God for my phone now. I just take a picture of it and remember it, amen. Then I have so many pictures on the phone, can't find the picture, amen. Here these disciples were back to the same old game that you and I play. Listen to me. Different field. Different opponent. Same old game. Same old stuff. Same old, one man said. Business as usual. Why? Jesus tells us because of their, listen now, heart was hardened. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a man that does not want his heart hardened. I don't want to live with a hardened heart. I want to see things new. I want to see things going. I want to see God do great things in my heart and my life. And I don't want to get used to the things that God does for me. There's a lot of people just get used to stuff. Same old. Used to it. God takes care of you. Yeah, He's going to take care of me. God takes care of you. Bless God, you ought to be jumping around doing a happy dance and get so excited praising God for what God's done for you. When little things come to you, big things come to you. You see, the Bible said, when you're reading, as you interpret the Bible, when you're reading this in context, you find that these disciples seem to have all the answers. They have so many answers now, they don't have to consult the Master anymore. They have a special place in the ministry. They don't need to stoop down to these little people and to the poor and to the children. They're above the trashy people. Heard one preacher saying it. He worked in this inner city church, and he said, this one guy came to me preach. He said, man, don't you have any normal people? He said, your church is like a garbage can. Everybody's there. And the preacher with tear down his eyes says, that's who God has sent me to serve. Whether they're rich or poor, whether they're intelligent or less intelligent, whether they're the great athletic filthy or they can't even walk. He says, God has called me to God's people. My friend, that old heart of yours that you carry around with you all the time is rotten and disgusting. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Boy, you start getting up on your perch and thinking you're so good and better than somebody else and you got better kids than somebody else. You wait till you got grandkids, amen. But anyway. Let me tell you something. All of us in the battle. All of us have hardships. All of us can't find the money we need to pay certain things. All of us are fighting the old devil and imps of hell. All of us are. All of us got problems. All of us got sorrows. All of us got dilemmas. All of us got calamity. Yes, we do. Just some don't show it like other people do. Some don't go, woe is me. In fact, Jesus said, man, if you're having trouble, comb your hair. Put some oil on your hair. Clean yourself up. Smile. Because when you don't, you're telling people that you don't have a God. You don't have a Father that loves you. Said the robin to the sparrow. I would really like to know why these human beings walk around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, it must be that they have no heavenly Father that loves and cares for me. Every time you gripe and complain about your problem, you're telling everybody that you don't have a God to take care of you. When I was growing up, I had a good daddy. I had a great dad, a dad that loved me and cared for me. And when troubles came, I would just say, Dad. And he was there. I had a good mom, and when the problems would come, so I'd come to my mom and say, Mama, I need some help. And she said, there, honey, I'll take care of you. Let me tell you something. The Bible said there's a heavenly Father that loves us more than our earthly father and mother. He cares about us. The problem is, a lot of the problems we get in is because of our stupidity and the things that we know that we shouldn't do, we did, and now we're paying the consequences for our stupidity. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Or oh me? Oh, Lord, I know. I heard a family that said they were so much in trouble. Finances. Oh, they're going crazy. And I noticed that they had an iPhone and an iPad and an iYiYi, brand new car, this and that. And they said, Pastor, you got to help us. And I wanted to say, God help us. If you get in so financially indebted to things because of, instead of buying hamburger and crackers, you go out and buy a T-bone steak and a ribeye, which are good. I like them. And you overspend your budget. If you do have a budget, you overspend your budget and you can't figure out why you don't have it. And why does it become my problem? I'll tell you why it becomes my problem. Because God said you'll always have the poor. It is not the poor's responsibility to tell the rich man to take care of him. It is the rich man's heart that is right with God that sees something that somebody needs and he takes care of them. And that's the wonderful thing about the poor, because you always have people that you can help. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Don't you have the mind of Christ to help people and to see their needs and help them? God said, if you have something, somebody asks you for it, and you can spare it, give it to them. And don't expect it to get it back. Don't expect it's coming back to you. There's some people, I know grandparents have given their children some money, and they get so upset, and they burn their bridges, and the grandkids can't pay it back, or won't pay it back, or whatever. And now, they don't want to come see Grandma and Grandpa, because they know they owe a debt, and Grandma and Grandpa's so upset with them, they don't pay. The Bible says, just give it to them. Don't expect it back. I'm just helping some of you older folks that are going to get into that situation. I'm going to tell you something. Don't figure on that stuff. Jesus said, the Word of God says, don't expect it back. You say, I should never give it to it. Good answer. Good answer. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one another. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that you like and a lot of things in the Bible you don't want. That's why the Bible says that we're to delight ourselves in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. So we have these men. They're afraid because they have what? Hardened their heart. Son, don't move when I'm preaching. Okay? Some of you don't know that, but we don't move because I'm trying to. When you walk out of here, everybody's looking. Where are you going? That takes my mind off what I'm thinking and takes my mind off what other people think. Okay? You know I love you, right? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't correct you. Let me tell you a secret. You may fool the preacher. You may fool your girlfriend. And you may fool your boyfriend, and you may fool your dad, you may fool your mom, you may fool your Sunday school teacher, you may fool your husband, you may fool your wife. But one of these days, calamity and destruction will stare you in the face. There will be no place to hide, no place to run. God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap also, or also reap. Those disciples, when they got scared, was because they thought they had it all together. They thought, hey, we know it all. We can take care of ourselves now, Lord. It's amazing how God brings calamities and things in our hearts and our life just to remind us and humble us to get us back to the place that we need a Savior. We need our Lord. Man, things happen, man. You think everything's going good. You got green lights. You got hammer down, man. You got the pedal to the floor, man. Things are going good. And all of a sudden, red light comes on. Whoa! Deer jumps out in front of you. Gets your attention, doesn't it? And God is trying to get our attention here today. That we would not harden our hearts. But we keep our hearts very malleable to God. That we would serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And we would not let the things of this world and the things that we think that we're really good at bring us down to harden our hearts. Hey, these disciples, man, they're good guys. They really were. They were like us. And since they're like us, they're mortals, and they have problems, and they have heartaches, and they have bosses that don't appreciate what we do, and we have people that seem to always get in our way, and people that always cause us a hiccup in life. And the Lord says, I just don't want you to harden your heart. I want you to trust Him. And when things do happen and problems do come to you, and it's more than you, He said, I want you to give it to me. Let me handle it. Well, I tell you what, we need God to handle our heart and our life. The last 34 years of this church has afforded me many opportunities to hear great men of God. And as they have, and as I have poured out my heart to you every week, work hard keeping this pulpit focused. When we bring men of God to preach to you, and naturally, a lot of people get fired up, excited. They start soul winning again, start praying again, and start thinking of the lost people out there. And all of a sudden, disintegrate. Why? Because we're made of flesh. Jesus' disciples were. And He said this, they considered not the miracles of the loaf. 12 hours before they see Jesus Christ walking on the water, 12 hours before, they were passing out the food. They were taking basket after basket and going out feeding people. 12 hours. And God said, because you've hardened your heart. Doesn't take long, does it? That's why it's so important that we always, I have diabetes, and boy, I poke my finger. I'm supposed to poke it 6 times a day. Really be careful of it. Keep the blood sugar level just right. I may feel like I have high blood sugar, or I may feel that I have low blood sugar. But the only way I can really test it is put it on that tester. The other day I thought, oh man, I'm really high. It was 120. I said, shit! Next day I was thinking I was pretty good, 328. What's the deal with that? My sister's cinnamon rolls. That's what it was, amen. I got my old pump out and just, next time I checked it, 50. Now I'm playing yo-yo. People don't have diabetes, you know what I'm talking about. That's why you and I need to be always constantly checking our heart. How's my heart towards my wife? How's my heart towards my husband? How's my heart towards my daddy? Towards my mama? How's my heart towards my church? How's my heart towards this world? We need to be constantly checking. How can I do that? The Word of God.